Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's talk a little bit about the future of work. The future of work. I am not a futurist, nor am I a future of work expert, nor do I really know much about the future of work, which in a lot of ways would certainly qualify me to be a future of work expert, because future of work experts don't know what the future of work is going to be either. And I kid about that a fair amount. I've always been curious about what the future of work would be, and to satiate said curiosity, I would seek out future of work experts and watch their YouTube videos or listen to podcasts, stuff like that. And I think fundamentally the message you would always get is just that things are going to be different. And I think that that's certainly true. In the future, work will be different than it is today. But what's it going to look like? What's it actually going to look like? And I'm sort of, I guess what I'm talking about is your future of work, because I don't know what the future of work is going to be, but I can certainly influence and have some control over what my future of work is going to be. And I think fundamentally that's the only thing that I should really be focused on, is my future of work, as you really ought to only be focused on your future of work, unless you are the CEO of a very, very large company. And all this is in the context of return to office. And I was on LinkedIn, as I frequently am, and it got headline on the right-hand side now, and it just talked about how, I think it said RTO for everyone but top performers. And I perused it a little bit. It's an interesting thing, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. But fundamentally, what initially jumped into my head was, do we think that companies are stupid? Do we think that companies are stupid? And while certainly many appear to be, most are not. The vast majority of companies are scrappy enterprises that are trying to make it happen. And there's continuum of a startup company to, it's growing, it's getting some traction, to a small company, to a mid-sized company, to a larger company, and then just massive companies / organizations. Think organizations that are employing hundreds of thousands of people. Think the federal government. Think different federal agencies. Those big ones, that might be, we might have a conversation that a company like that is kind of dumb. But for most, it's smaller organizations, not just trying to scrape by or get by, but all hands on deck. And not necessarily having the luxury to be spending a ton of time thinking about this stuff, because they realize how valuable their resources are. And anytime you are making the decision to allocate resources away from the primary drivers or the primary things that help your organization, your company to be successful, to anything other than that, you are handicapping your growth. You are slowing down your growth. You are retarding your company's growth. And that seems to be lost on so many of us. We do not have a good understanding of the value of our most valuable resources, time, attention, energy, and money. So when we take money away from one thing and give it to another, that's just giving evidence of what is most important. So get back on this before I go too far off the get too far off the point. Return to office for everybody but the top performers. Just the short snippet is that more companies are requiring their workers returning to the office, except if they are star employees, staffers with unique skills or talents, or those who have a proven record of exceeding performance quotas are often exempt from RTO mandates. Wall Street Journal reports that it can breed resentment and accusations of favoritism. Remote and hybrid roles remain in hot demand with job seekers, even as their availability dwindles. Warning, it can breed resentment and accusations of favoritism. I don't think that there's any accusation of favoritism there at all. That is clear favoritism. What are we talking about? If you don't think that one of the favorite employees with an organization is their top salesperson, well, you're number one, wrong. And if you think that it's bad to prefer or to favor top performing individuals within an organization, then you're wrong. That's as clear as day to me. Not everything is the same. Not everything is the most important thing. Some things are better than others. You have preferences. That's true of companies. It's true of teams. It's true of everything. Think about the top athletes. Think about the best quarterback in the NFL. Is that a valuable role? Is that a valuable position? Should we favor Patrick Mahomes? Should we favor Tom Brady? Should we? Yeah, and we certainly do. Not only that, but we pay them more money. So why are we thinking that that should be any different? Are we saying, is this article saying that everybody should get the same amount of money? That everybody should be treated exactly the same way? And do you think that that's a good thing? I bet the people that are not very, very productive, that are not top performers, they probably think that that would be okay. But for those top performers, do I think that they think that that would be okay? I think no. So that's an interesting thing. It is an interesting thing, but not necessarily that interesting. I think it's pretty straightforward. I remember, now it's been a number of years, it was pre-COVID, and therefore all time pre-COVID, the years leading up to it, sort of a mishmash. Cloudy sort of wasteland of time in my brain, not knowing what year that was. I'm just bad with time as it is. But Basecamp, there was a company called Basecamp that got in initial hot water, or rather found themselves in the news because they were asking their employees to not use corporate communication channels to talk about politics and stuff like that. And it was this big uproar. Oh, I should be able to bring my whole self to work. And I remember I was having a conversation on a podcast with my friend Centauri, and we were sort of on, I think we were just kicking it around and chopping it up a little bit, but he may have been on the other side of the conversation about how it's a good thing to be able to allow people to have those kinds of conversations. And my thing again was just simply that, again, you're using company time to have a conversation about non-company activities. And that is an inappropriate thing. You are being compensated and being paid to perform a job, to perform some kind of a role. And is it a good thing? Is that a nice thing for us to be able to feel like you are more seen, whatever the term is? Sure, that's a good thing. But as I'm thinking about that, I think about the very famous Mad Men scene when Don was having a pretty heated conversation with Peggy, and she was upset because she felt like Don had taken one of her ideas and turned it into a commercial, which won him an award, which gave him a lot of recognition. And he says to her, well, your ideas that you generate, that's what the money is for. That's what the money is for, Peggy. You're new in your career. You're getting started. You're very, very talented. But you get paid to generate ideas which come into the firm. Anyway, I think it's certainly germane to this whole thing. It's like you are compensated for coming in and doing a specific job within an organization. So, can we have it all? Is it possible to have it all? Well, I think that it is. I think that it is for an individual contributor to absolutely have whatever kind of work experience, work-life balance that you desire.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But it's not incumbent on the company to make that happen for you, or to make it, or to create or engineer some kind of a scenario where everybody gets exactly the same thing. This is still the United States of America, and this is still a free country. And this is a capitalistic meritocracy where not everybody gets the same thing. Not everybody makes the same amount of money. Not everybody's the same height. Not everybody has the same preferences. We're all different. And it's fascinating to me that in some areas of life, we celebrate our differences. In fact, some areas of life, that's all anybody talks about is what they are. But in other areas, we don't want to be different at all. In other areas, we want all the same. So can you have it both ways? I don't know. There's an interesting kind of a fun saying, and I have no idea where it came from. I researched it once. We're not going to have that experience now. You're welcome, obviously, to do it if you desire. And it goes like this. There are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old bold pilots. So, talk briefly about how there are small companies and there are great big companies. There are successful companies and there are big companies. There are companies that are focused on you bringing your whole self to work. There are companies that are focused on work-life balance. But I don't know if there are too many companies that thread that needle. I don't know that there are old, bold pilots. I don't know that there are successful companies that treat everybody the same way. I don't know that there are successful companies that cater to their employees and bend over backwards to help them feel like they're seen and represented. In a lot of ways, I feel like that's what Twitter was, pre-Twitter files, pre-Elon Musk buying the company. It was a bit of a shit show, free-for-all. The TikTok videos are pretty well documented. Day in the life at Twitter, they have these young people talking about going to the cafe and taking a yoga class and popping into the wine bar and taking calls on the rooftop deck, this, that, and the other thing. And pretty maddening if you are a regular human being with a regular job to watch that farcical parody of what a Silicon Valley company is. So does that make it right or wrong? I think it's wrong, but that is what I think. There's obviously a lot of people out here who do not believe what I believe. So again, when a company starts, we're starting an enterprise with a mission. I start a company, myself and some partners start a company because we believe that there is a gap in the marketplace where the thing that we do is not currently there. So we're going to create a new thing, or we think that we're going to do something better, more efficiently, in a more impactful way than the companies that exist. There's just a reason for us to go into business, to incorporate, start an LLC, whatever. It's our mission. It's what we're going to do. And we're putting all of our resources into this. We're working long days. And then we grow and then we grow and we grow and we grow and we have success. And then all of a sudden, Sergey Brin and Larry Page have created Google, and there's 80 trillion employees all over the world. Now, that took a long time, and that's a unique company. And if Google wants to do this stuff, if they want to allow everybody to work remotely, then that's their prerogative. But the majority of companies, again, the vast majority of companies are not that. They are not Google. They do not have the cash flow. They do not have the money. They do not have the revenue to be able to, what is the term? To be able to indulge. Because I do believe in a lot of ways this is an indulgent kind of a thing. When your company is big enough, it has the ability to concern itself with what I would refer to as below-the-line issues, just issues that aren't important to, again, the mission and operation of that company. Or it could just be that some organizations get so big that they just have no idea. You think about bureaucracies like the federal government. How's that going? Is that pretty efficient? I think the answer is no. We're about to find out. What about the DMV, the post office? Whenever things get so big, it's really easy for things to kind of slip through the cracks. It's easy to completely lose the script of what is it that we're doing here again? We're the fire department. We're supposed to put out fires. We're the teachers union. We're supposed to teach kids. We are the DMV. We're supposed to help citizens resolve their vehicle issues, not give them the worst experience of their lives when they come in here. Okay. So there's a lot going on. But for an individual contributor, I think that this is a really interesting thing. I think this is a really interesting thing. Less interesting from a corporate standpoint. I think that it's pretty clear to me why certain organizations do certain things. But for individuals, I think it is a really interesting thing. And I think about it from the context of a very famous Thoreau quote, says that most men, people, lead lives of quiet desperation, which means they feel like they're engaged in a meaningless life, going through the motions, carried along by the currents of life. And I think that that's a really, really sad thing. I think that there's a lot of people that feel like life is happening to them, and they feel like they have, and probably do, have a very, very small or minimal locus of control. I don't have a lot of influence on my life or the circumstances or the other people around me. I just have very little influence. Things are happening to me. It's not a good feeling. I wouldn't like that. I certainly felt like that. And I do not wish to feel like it again. So that's you. I encourage you to decide what it is that you really want. Just wanting to work from home is not that's not the answer to the question. Really think about what it is that you really want. What is it that you really want? If you're pissed because you don't have what you want, let me flip that. If you don't have what you want, get pissed, get irritated, get motivated, make a plan. I'm guessing that if you want to be working from home, it's not that you want to work from your home. You want autonomy. You want flexibility. You want more time. You want to be in your car less, commuting in shitty traffic less. Like, sounds good to me. Very few things more soul-crushing than having to sit in gridlock traffic on your way into some office and on your way home at the end of the day. I think that you can do it. Imagine I don't know how many people that are listening to this find themselves feeling helpless, but maybe that's you. Or maybe you can help somebody who's sort of feeling frustrated and helpless. But it's certainly available to you. You're an intelligent person. We are all intelligent enough to be able to put this together, to decide what it is that we want, to make a plan, and then to execute on that plan. So I think that the deal once was, and the deal once will be again, that what you do the best, you get the most. The top performers, to the victor go the spoils. Do your best, enjoy success, get autonomy. Pretty straightforward. Not super confusing. If you phone it in, if you're half-assing or quarter-assing, you're going to be living in the red. You're going to be living paycheck to paycheck. You're not going to feel like you have a lot of control. Don't try. Get nothing. Do the best, get the most. Do the least, do the worst, get the least. Callous, cold, okay, sure, fine. But do not think that you just get to work from home and sit around. That's what the money is for. You're receiving money to do a certain job in a certain way. The Pareto distribution says that 80% of the results come from 20% of the actions. And in this example, within a company, 80% of the results are going to come from 20% of the people. So if you're in that 20%, you can work wherever you want. If you're in the 80%, then unfortunately, I do not think that you're going to get that. You're not going to get that ability. This is true across every domain. It's true in music. It's true in art. It's true in music. It's true in athletics. 20% of the actions, 20% of the contributors drive and get 80% of the results. So where are you? Are you in the 80? Are you in the 20? Not super complicated. I don't think the companies are dumb. Some appear to be, but the vast majority, again, are not dumb. If you find yourself in that 80%, you need to do whatever you need to do and everything in order to move out of it and move into the 20, become invaluable, become really, really, really important and integral to your company. Organizations incentivize the behavior that they want. You want more of this? Incentivize it somehow. If they thought, and if it were true, that you were as productive at home as you are in the office, then they would not make you come back to the office. Nobody cares, work harder. Remember that a couple years ago? Lamar Jackson wore that t-shirt. It's a good one. You might not like it, but I think that that's where we're back at again, for better or for worse. So, success is available to you. The life that you want is available to you. You're worthy of it. You're deserving of it. But you're not entitled to it. You got to grab that brass ring, baby. Got to pull yourself up by those bootstraps. Get your butt back into the office. Become undeniable. Become super productive. Get the freedom and the flexibility that you're looking for. As always, do your part by doing your best.